Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday after Christmas. Merry, merry to you, Dom, and merry, merry to our fine new guest. He is Dr. Harvey Kay. He is a professor emeritus at the glorious University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You know, Dom, this fine radio product soon to be played in Green Bay.
Nice.
We welcome him back. He's wearing the colors. He's our good friend, Dr. Harvey Kay. Harvey, I love your Green Bay hat, man.
This hat, which people can't see, is a Green Bay Packers cap with a 12 on it. I have to say that for a brief while in the last couple, well, every so often in the last couple of years, I thought I got to erase the 12. Okay. And in fact, in that vein, I just have to say, I assume I'm not the only one who saw the game on Sunday yesterday.
Oh, we watched the game, man. What do you think we're... Well, Dom is a little sacrilegious in that he's both a heathen and also a Detroit Lions fan.
That is true. We're coming for you on January 8th.
Oh, my God. How do they let you... God, how do they let you lift a beard?
It really helps the faith, man. You got to have faith to be a Lions fan, baby.
You know, it's funny. One of my students, who's now finishing, well, he must be in his second year. I don't think he's in his third yet. Law school at University of Pennsylvania Law School, one of the Ivy League law schools. He grew up here in Wisconsin, but his father was from Michigan. And so he grew up a Lions fan. And I always felt bad about it. But recently, I think, look, to be honest, they show a great deal of promise is the best way to put it. A
lot of heart.
Okay. Although I have to say, I hope their promise gets left behind in Michigan when they come over across the lake. You know, as I was watching the game, that first half, my New York City lawyer daughter and her husband were at the game in Miami. They were visiting members of his family. So we were texting during that game. And at one point I finally said to her, you know, the play calling is abysmal. The quarterback is strikingly too old. The defense is uneven at best, and as usual. Keyshawn Nixon, the best return artist since Desmond Howard, has a groin injury, and the refs are definitely paid off, either by drug dealers or Cuban or Jewish grandmas. Who knows? What else can happen is what I kept asking myself, right? And then in the second half, you know, it wasn't a perfect second half, but the Packers showed that they are without a doubt the most capable team if they can ever get it together. So I've got this line I've now developed. I don't know if either one of you ever read Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, but it opens with that famous line, the best of times, the worst of times.
Yeah.
Well, to paraphrase Dickens, the Packers are the worst of teams, the best of teams, this year at least, okay?
You know what this year is? Harvey, here's my prediction. And it's bound to be wrong because it's a big one. This is 2010 all over again. The Packers back into the wild card, get hot, because to get into the wild card, they'd obviously have to win their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They get hot, go on the road, and play themselves to a Super Bowl championship. How do you like them apples?
Well, you know what? I so want to agree with you. I so want just that to happen. But it's the thing I left out about all of this, which is implied by my statement that play calling was abysmal, is the fact that I'm more and more convinced that the biggest problem the team has is at the coach's level, because it's just so uneven. if you had a, if you had good coaching, it can't be that uneven. The players would at least fear the coaches a bit, but it's like they're doing their own thing sometimes. They don't know, or they don't know what they're supposed to be doing.
You know, Harvey, I feel bad because we've got friends listening on WCPT 820 AM in Chicago, and you know, the only real solid thing you know forever is the Bears still suck.
And they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
That's true. But, you know, at least I'm old enough to remember when they were beating us. So I don't have to feel bad for them necessarily. I know that there was a time when we were suffering. What would that have been, like the 80s, right? With Peyton, I guess, was the cause of all that misery here in Green Bay.
Yeah, that was half a generation ago, though. You know,
that's
let's
how
let
old
him
I
suffer.
Am. I've got two generations under my belt.
Aaron Rodgers still owns that city, those fans, and that team. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You're listening right now. We appreciate you doing so because we got a fine guest. He's Dr. Harvey Kaye. He is a professor emeritus with the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, and he and I are both wearing our true Packer colors. Tomorrow night, Harvey, there's a bowl game here on the Civic Media Network. We can stream that one out so you can listen to it. But want to ask you, man, what new year? You know, we're going to turn the calendar and people are going to start jumping in the presidential race. That's yes. What comes next. It is declaration time for the Republicans. You know, it won't be lonely and sad Trump all running against himself anymore. There'll be a Ron DeSantis and many, many others, I suspect. And I think that a once feared Trump would have cleared that field. Not anymore. There's going to be like 15 of them, I think. What do you think, Harvey?
You're right. 15? I'm not sure. Let's put it this way. I expect DeSantis. Okay, I really do. There's another guy, and I want to talk about this for a moment, if you don't mind. There's another guy who I think I've talked to you about for a couple of years at least, who is salivating to run for president, and that's the relatively young Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, junior senator from Missouri. He is the senator from Missouri, right? Not junior senator. Anyhow, he's the senator from Missouri. Josh Hawley wrote a book a couple of years ago. But you may recall, it was titled The Tyranny of Big Tech. And this was his effort to challenge the big technology companies, whose names we all know. Now, in that book, he wrote a narrative. He wrote a story of how big tech came into being, how if you like, industrial capitalism came into being, that I can tell you, I, as a left historian, a progressive historian, a radical historian, would likely have written myself. He offered a story which was definitely pointing a finger at the robber barons, the big capitalists, and supporting the struggles from below of working people. And this was his effort to start laying claim to a kind of Midwestern populism within the Republican Party. Now, undeniably, he remains he's not going to in any way turn out to be some truly radical figure. But that was his beginnings. And I want you to know, in this last month, he's sort of laid the groundwork for doing so again, making that run again. And I'll tell you what, in the pages of a conservative, actually very Christian magazine, he talked about the fact that the Republicans, mind you, were failing working people. He drove it home. Okay. Two, he then turned around in the pages of the Washington Post and talked about the need for a new Republican Party. Now, does that sound like a guy who wants to run for president? This is a guy who basically wants to emulate not Trump, but Ronald Reagan, who himself ran against the Republican establishment when he ran for president first time in 76, and then again in 1980 when he won the nomination and won the presidency. So I want to say that I think DeSantis, and I can imagine Hawley, although he may hold off, hoping maybe for a vice presidential nomination, invitation, whatever. Having said that, I'm not sure there won't be a few Democrats who pop up to challenge Joe Biden. I know that it may seem a little crazy.
Come on, that's crazy. That's crazy talk, Harvey.
Yeah, I can tell you that there are folks out on the progressive side of the party who would be very happy, if only to push Biden. Because the squad, the progressive caucus, have failed to effectively do that. That I'm just saying.
Well, let me throw a couple of possibles out there. Mike Pence is running. You know, the former VP's running.
Yeah, that to me is comical in itself, but go ahead.
You know, the Nikki Haley's, the Mike Pompeo's, they're all running, right? You
Chris got Christie. Least,
well, I'm not as clear
on Chris Christie.
That's
interesting, Chris Christie question, because I... Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I suspect Glenn Youngkin from Virginia might be on the list, right? He's got all the attention.
Greg Abbott, maybe?
Well, Greg Abbott. Yes, he's trying to... And that brings up an interesting point about this Republican field. Greg Abbott's trying to, what, out-cruel Ron DeSantis by sending migrants to the vice president's, the Naval Observatory House that houses the vice president. For Christmas, Merry Christmas, have a couple busloads of migrants because they're trying to prove a point to the base. But, I mean, Abbott just won re-election. DeSantis just won re-election. If this is not for presidential intent, if this is not to head up the white nationalist party, what is it, Harvey?
Yeah, it's hard. You're right. I mean, so it's not, let me get this straight. He's not sending these folks, these immigrants / refugees, he's not sending them to California, to wherever home she and her husband have out there. He's been sending them to D.C., to the vice president's residence. I want people to understand, the vice president's residence is the old Naval Observatory. It's up on a hill behind fencing. Security is intense. Security is so good, and the radar around it is so good that when you drive by that area on Massachusetts Avenue, you will likely lose your phone connection. It'll drop. So that's amazing. I didn't realize he was sending them to.
Well, and then he tweets out Abbott, Merry Christmas, Jesus, yada, yada, yada. I'm thinking, well, I don't remember the whole story, but wasn't Jesus like an immigrant turned away somewhere and he had to be born in a manger? He was being Christian, just the wrong kind of Christian that Republicans tend to, flock to.
But that's because he's running for something, don't you think, Harvey?
Well, it sounds like he's running for something. Let's put it this way. I expect the clown car of 2016 on the Republican Party side to return in 2023-4.
I am so looking forward to Des Moines in the winter. Come back with us, Harvey K. Please stick around. More Devils have to stick around, everyone. I'm asking nice.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devils advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us. You can click on the Devil's Advocates and download, listen to podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He's a friend of ours. He is Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And I feel like we're coming to be your neighbors very, very soon, Harvey. This fine product will play out on WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, starting about a week from now. I believe January 2nd, the rollout, we're coming your way, Harvey. And I see the Green Bay, the Brown County, the Fox Valley area is very fertile soil for, let's just say, the truth. An alternative message. Let's call it the truth, just for talking points. Harvey, Green Bay is effectively turned into a red city, and Brown County is effectively a red county, at least when you look at the most recent data, and they shouldn't be. I mean, this is a college town. This is a metro. This should be where the Democrats live. I understand the greater multi-county metro, but I'm talking about Brown County, Green Bay, man. Let's turn this area blue. What would that take? Your hometown, what would it take?
Okay, well, let me just say that we haven't gone to the dark side as much as you might imagine. Let's start there, okay? For example, my assemblywoman, Christina Shelton, is one of the most progressive
state assembly people in the Wisconsin legislature. We have a mayor who was himself a state assemblyman on the Democratic side of the House, you might say. And he's running again for mayor. So I would not necessarily say we're as red as you imagine. However, we can become even more progressive, I think. And by the way, if it sounds like I'm going to patronize you, I am going to patronize you. I think the arrival of a progressive radio station in Green Bay, Wisconsin, augurs incredible possibilities, progressive possibilities for this region. Let me put it this way. It isn't just that working people may well have been, if you like, bleeding out of the Democratic Party into the Republican ranks. It's they've been doing so not because the Republicans represent an alternative that's so appealing. It's that, in fact, they have not heard, basically, the progressive message that might well lead them to come back over to the Democratic side and even push the Democrats more in a more progressive direction. That's first. Second of all, in those rural areas around Green Bay, where in election time 2020, all over, you know, the sides of the roads were the signs of Trump 2020, that kind of thing. But there again, think about it. Those very folks, some of them part-time farmers, some of them full-time farmers, they do not want, in spite of what they might imagine, the kinds of policies and programs that the Republicans are so eager to give them, policies and programs which will cost their kids the capacity perhaps to go to college, that will cost themselves the possibilities of decent health care. In other words, the more we can get the progressive message out, which your arrival in Green Bay, Northeast Wisconsin will afford, the better off not only will we be, the better off they will be. As long as we make it a decidedly American progressive voice, and we speak to their real interests and real needs. That I mean that sincerely.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dr. Harvey K joining us. Harvey, always good to be with you, man. I appreciate the sentiment, and I think you're right. I think being able to have access to the conversation, hearing it, debating, you know, getting that exposure, it certainly helped me in my evolution politically. You got to be able to hear other things and get out of the wormhole that you can certainly go down in these days. It's really easy to do so. I know we only got a few minutes left here, Harvey, but I want to throw this out there. Jamie Raskin was quoted about getting rid of the Electoral College. Too many pitfalls and too much strategery could be done around it. What's your sense on that, and what do you think that would look like in order to actually happen?
Well, I don't see it happening immediately, but given the kinds of debacles we've seen these last number of years regarding the vote, election politicking and all that, I mean, it's probably more on people's minds today, or at least in the last few years, than it has ever been. And it's funny you bring that up, because it was just a couple of hours ago, I was listening to Jamie Raskin on a podcast saying exactly that. And I want to say that I must confess, I had some contact with Jamie Raskin's office this past year. He is a big fan of my childhood hero, still my main political hero, Thomas Paine. And in fact, he has been the primary mover of a bill in Congress that may well actually get passed, even with Republican support, to put a monument to Thomas Paine in Washington, D.C. It's been tried over and over again, but this time it looks like a possibility. I talk regularly to his communications director. And I'll also add, I've been active with a veterans group down in Sarasota, Florida, Florida Veterans for Common Sense, and they are hoping this January, Thomas Paine's birthday, January 29th, to award Jamie Raskin the Thomas Paine Award that they give every year. And his idea of eliminating the Electoral College would be really in the spirit of Thomas Paine, who was the first and foremost advocate that in the American Revolution, the United States become not simply a republic, but a democratic republic.
We have the Dom Pain in the Ass Award.
Thank you. I earn them all.
Hey, Harvey. Dom, one thing, Dom.
Yeah.
I am so proud of my Wisconsin knowledge these days that the image behind you, which other people cannot see, I said to Evan, the producer, before, hey, isn't that in Milwaukee on Brady Street? Am I right?
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That is. That's the Roman coin. I kind of hang out there once in a while. Hey, Harvey, thank you. Got some books for my mother-in-law. One for me, the Thomas Paine for me. Another one for my mother-in-law. Thank you for inscribing. Harvey, if people want to get some of those books, where are they going to do so, sir?
Well, they can find it on any one of the online booksellers. The Fight for the Four Freedoms, they can go online to Simon & Schuster, or they can go online for the Paine book to Macmillan, Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. But I'll tell you what, I'm at Harvey JK on Twitter, Harvey JK. If they send me a note on Twitter, I will give them explicit directions how to do it.
Harvey King.
Thank you, guys. It's a blast. I look forward to the new station in Green Bay and having all the more conversations with you.
We will certainly talk in the new year. Harvey King, our fine guest, thank you so much. Come back. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the merriest of Mondays, the one after Christmas. And the merriest of guests, thank you, Dr. Harvey K. We love it when Harvey comes around. We'll continue to have him into the new year, I suspect, Dom. Especially because we're coming to Harvey's direction, WGBW, our newest entree into the civic media.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to get up to Green Bay. That will be a blast. Get Harvey in studio.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice studio right on Washington Street. Right off the Ray Nitschke Bridge. We got our facility getting officed up soon. Very soon. My wife tells me, I'll be gone. I said, where are you going? Green Bay? Get the office ready.
Nice.
Dom, I got a breaking headline. Not breaking-ish. Breaking-ish. You know that Matt Gaetz character, the one that somehow narrowly escaped indictment on, you know, what? Trafficking?
Child sex trafficking?
Something
or having
like
sex
that?
With an 17-year-old porn star? Yes, I remember that guy.
Well, now that he's been vindicated, air quotes?
question mark, allegedly?
He's got a Christmas wish I'd like to share with you and the audience, oh, Dom. God. Rep Matt Gaetz, that Florida man, said over the weekend that his Christmas wish is for his Republican colleague, Jim Jordan from Ohio, to run to be the next Speaker of the House. All I want for Christmas is @Jim_Jordan to realize he should be Speaker of the House! Gaetz wrote in a Twitter tweet. Gaetz, who has repeatedly spoken out against House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy taking the Speaker's gavel, followed up that tweet with another on Sunday, asking his followers to encourage Jordan to run for the top spot. I mean, is there a less popular human being than Jim Jordan? Really? I know the Gaetz likes him because they're sort of jerks together, but does anybody else like this guy? Really? Anyways, the Florida lawmaker had previously supported Jordan for the post, telling Foxy News in August that Jordan was the hardest working and most talented member in his more conservative base.
the bar is really low these days.
It's a shallow pool. Jordan, who will chair the House Judiciary Committee when the GOP assumes the majority next month, has not announced plans to run for the leadership post, and the Ohio Republican has endorsed McCarthy for House Speaker and expressed concerns this month that Republicans conspiring against the minority leader could work with Democrats to elect a different leader. Not that one. Not you, though. I mean, I could see them bringing a Liz Cheney as the House Speaker, because you do not have to actively serve in the House to be the House Speaker. Hell, it could be Donald Trump. I think Gaetz brought that up prior, right, Dom? But I feel his confidence. I mean,
the Republican Party is in disarray. I mean, what a crap show. And these fake religious Christians, man. Really, that's what Matt Gaetz wants for Christmas. He wants Jim Jordan, who allegedly turned a blind eye to, you know, rape in his locker room. That guy, GYM Jordan, that guy is going to be who was the other Speaker of the House, a Republican, went to jail for things
Tom
like
DeLay?
That.
Not Sandusky. The guy from Chi-Town. Wish one of our friends.
He was a former speaker. It will come to me. But the fact that
not
they
Paul Ryan.
Not Paul Ryan. No, not Paul Ryan. Before Paul Ryan. The fact that they claim that this is, you know, the birth of their savior, and then they put all these asinine Christmas wishes, and Donald Trump did this, and I just can't believe, I mean, I can, but this is real. I mean, this is from Donald Trump on his, his Christmas wish to everyone.
Denny Hassert, that was the name we
Thank
were
you.
Searching
yes.
for.
Denny Hassert. here's what Trump did on his Truthy Social. Merry Christmas to everyone. I mean, could just done a period there and moved along, right? No, Trump can't do that because Trump's Trump.
Except
Merry Christmas to everyone, including the radical left Marxists that are trying to destroy our country, the Federal Bureau of Investigation that is illegally coercing and paying social and lamestream media to push for a mentally disabled Democrat over the brilliant, clairvoyant, and USA-loving Donald J. Trump, and of course the Department of Injustice, which appointed a special prosecutor, in quotes, who together with his wife and family hates Trump more than any other person on earth. Love to all.
Well, he said love.
I mean, really? I mean, if you're going to write a letter, so over the weekend, I got to see some family and some of the old letters that we wrote to Santa when we were kids, you know, back in the 70s that we still have. My sister had, and they read them out loud, and it's pretty funny. But if I would have wrote a letter to Santa like this, my parents would not have had it, man, or Santa would never have accepted a letter like that. That's not a Merry Christmas to everyone, including the Marxists and the stupid FBI and the mentally disabled Democrat, and calling himself clairvoyant and brilliant, referring to himself in the third person more than once. I mean, this is the 2024 Republican presidential candidate. And this is how he celebrates the birth of your, not mine, your savior. Thank you. Love to all. But he said love to all. He told the protesters to be peaceful after he told them to fight like hell. So I guess that takes it away. It's kind of like confession, right? I mean, I don't know how it works, but I think once you go and admit to the sins, then you are now clean to go and do it all over again till next Sunday. I mean, what a friggin' joke, people.
Would you be happier if Trump had said, and happy birthday, Jesus? I mean, would that have cleaned Jesus. It up for you? Could have covered all bases?
Maybe.
Happy Hanukkah?
But it goes along with, again, this is the Greg Abbott. You know, dropping off, you know, migrants in D.C. and in weather below the 20s, man. What are you doing? Literally, you worship the story of your guy is something similar to that. Greg Abbott, then he posts some, you know, happy holidays to all kind of thing. I mean, I don't know, you say, you know, perhaps this is all just positioning to run for, you know, for politics, run for president for
yes.
Abbott. I mean, okay, whatever. That doesn't excuse asinine actions when you at the same time claim to be this, you know, some Christian who believes that, you know, Jesus was, you know, a savior. I mean, well, if Jesus was just your savior and you worship him, and then you do the same thing to the migrants that was done to Jesus, doesn't that kind of make you a friggin' hypocrite? I'm just not clear on how the whole faith things work. Maybe you guys can, you know, help me out on that.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Come on, man. That's what I'm saying.
Going to give me back a Cecil Lake of Salam, something like that?
I don't know at all. I don't know at all. The CNN, let's just a little bit here while we brought it up. Several busloads of migrants dropped in front of Vice President Harris's residence in D.C. on Christmas Eve in 18-degree weather late Saturday. An initial two busloads were taken to local shelters, according to an administration official. More buses arrived outside the vice president's residence later Sunday evening. CNN team saw migrants being dropped off, with some migrants wearing only T-shirts in the freezing weather. Only T-shirts in 18-degree weather. They were given blankets and put on another bus and went to a local church. Amy Fisher, a volunteer with the Migrant Solidarity Mutual Aid Network, which has been receiving migrants sent to D.C. since spring. So the organization had been prepared for Saturday night's arrivals, having been informed about it earlier by an NGO working at the border in Texas. The arrivals included asylum seekers from Ecuador, Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Peru, and Colombia, according to Fisher, who told CNN the buses were supposed to go to New York but diverted to D.C. due to the weather. Busloads of migrants have been arriving in Washington weekly since April. The D.C. community has been welcoming buses from Texas anytime they've come since April. Christmas Eve and freezing cold weather is no difference, Fisher said. We are always here welcoming folks with open arms. SAMU First Response, a nonprofit that's been assisting migrants since the buses began coming to Washington earlier this year, was also on the ground Saturday night helping arrivals. The organization's managing director, Tatiana Laborde, described the stunt as extremely inhumane, but said if done properly, it could provide a roadmap for easing tensions at the southern border. What they're seeing is much worse than what we have here. Three buses is just a small portion of what they experienced on a day-to-day, she said in an interview. The White House put the blame on the Texas governor, calling it cruel, dangerous, and a shameful stunt. Here's the quote. Governor Abbott abandoned children on the side of the road below freezing temperatures on Christmas Eve without coordinating with any federal or local officials. As we have repeatedly said, we are willing to work with anyone, Republican or Democrat alike, on real solutions like the comprehensive immigration reform and border security measures President Biden sent to Congress on his first day in office. But these political games accomplish nothing and only put lives in danger. Merry Christmas.
You're not looking at it through the right prism. They're going to get all that good coverage on Foxy News over the holidays. All the crazy Uncle Ted sitting home, you know, fighting with their nephews and watching Fox News and being reinvigorated by the cruelty being extended, just like Jesus would do, like a real right. American would.
Where would Jesus send the migrants? D.C., Washington? I mean, I'm sure they would have brought them to Buffalo if they could, right? Texas? Come on. And then he claimed to be about, you know, the time of the season and baby Jesus. And then this is what you do.
The way you say it, it's almost like it's negative.
I really
don't understand the political calculation even. You know what I mean? Even if you could somehow justify in your frail character that this is okay to mess with other human beings for the sake of political gain, and you're going to ship them, oh, we're going to send you to New York. Oh, diverted you to D.C. to the vice president's house, as things would have it, because obviously it's clearly a political sideshow, right? If you can get beyond all those sort of character qualms I might have with that sort of action, what's the political upside? You know what I mean? What are you really accomplishing? Are you making the you're number one with the Klan and white nationalist? Is that really the route to the White House? Because again, Abbott's not on the ballot in 24. Not unless he runs for president. DeSantis is not on the ballot in 24. Not unless he runs for president. So when they take, I mean, hell, Ron DeSantis was having to ship out-of-state immigrants to other out-of-state places to be sufficiently cruel to qualify to run against Donald Trump. To represent the party of Lincoln, question mark? I'm not clear how this plays politically, why this would play politically, because most of the Republicans I talk to, man, especially here in Wisconsin, if they're rural and they work in a farming community, they know the hardworking Latinos that are working in those barns. And we've talked about the math, like the vast majority of them approaching, what, 36% of all Wisconsin farm labor is without legal permit to be living or working in the state of Wisconsin. That gets to be a big number. Like 40% of all farm labor is Latino. So,
and 90% of them are not properly documented.
Hence the 36%. I did math backwards on the radio. I thought you'd be proud of me. You didn't even realize I was doing math.
Oh, man, I was on it. I was on it. But that's a big chunk, right? And, of course, and they would not be employed were it not for the farmers that are also engaging in this, I guess, labor workaround to have them employed, quote unquote, in the state of Wisconsin. So we need the labor, obviously, and people have concerns of, and we have asylum laws that should be followed here in this country. Yes. So, I mean, well, what's the upside? I think you nailed it, man. White Christian nationalists. But what's so Christian about it?
Well, it's not you get that's not any sort of real Christianity, as Jesus was born in a manger on freaking Christmas morning because they wouldn't let the family in the end and all that kind of stuff. Greg DeSantis would have shipped to be a burrow to Jerusalem. Come back, more Devils.
If I had one wish that I could wish this holiday season.
Check Jimmy out!
Damn it, Jim.
Jimmy down!
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you can join us right now at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a funny little story about Rudy Giuliani. You see, he posted a little video of himself.
Oh, no.
Playing Santa Claus. Such an effective Santa, this Rudy. Let me tell a little of the story, as first brought to me by the Raw story. Former Trump advisor, that's the nicest way you can describe Rudy at this point. Former Trump advisor Rudy Giuliani used his podcast on Christmas morning to deliver his best acting performance since Borat, subsequent movie film.
God, so gross.
Giuliani cast himself as Santa and welcome followers on his podcast, Uncovering the Truth, with some cringeworthy ho-ho-hos before telling them this. I'm still able to think in this Santa outfit. I don't know. I don't think it's affecting my thinking, although I'm getting tired. It was all night. It was tough, and Rudolph kind of acted up a little. Great reindeer, but when you're as famous as he is, he thinks he's more famous than Santa Claus. You know that you'll go down in history then. He takes it seriously. These reindeer, you can't count on them. Kind of like your legal counsel, Rudy. As the Raw story notes, in another time or place, the video might have obviously been a case of the former New York City mayor sharing some good humor. But with Giuliani facing the loss of his law license, and possibly much worse, it's not clear whether the awkward video wasn't the product of too much stress. I see. They just write this out of concern for Rudy. You know, he's got the namesake. Rudolph.
Wow.
I bet his nose is nearly as red as Rudolph's. Allegedly.
I don't know what to say. I mean, the guy, he's certainly fallen from grace, let's put it that way. But, the concerning thing is he had the ear, and perhaps still does, of the former president of the United States, man. You know what I'm saying? And his influence, of course, impacted the direction of this country. This guy in a Santa outfit who is talking about Rudolph. It's strange. All these characters, man, take them individually, put them together as a group. I mean, just the content that they put out, we talked about Trump's, Merry Christmas, truthy social message. What? Greg DeSantis, same thing. Oh, Merry Christmas. Oh, Jesus did. And, shipping, kids and T-shirts to 18 degree weather in D.C., I mean, all these things taken individually are just like really weird. But they realize these are like major players in Republican politics, man. You can't deny it. Greg Abbott. I mean, governor of Texas, man. He's out there. Perhaps he's running. This is your guy, Rudy Giuliani. I'm not sure where, you know, the megas are on with him right now, but certainly at least had some influence, perhaps still does, with mega and Trump. And Trump's and all the rest of these guys. It is a clown show. If we look at who was running, we talked with Dr. Harvey K earlier. Well, Trump, you know, certainly. DeSantis, Howley, perhaps. Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Glenn Youngkin, Greg Abbott. I mean, what are we at? 8, 9 already? We're pushing double digits. And you get a couple of these other ones out there. It's going to be the same clown show that we saw before. And what happens? I don't think Trump's going to make it to the primary. Let's put it that way. But if it were to be the case, well, you have the kind of the same situation. Everyone like kind of slices each other up, and Trump's left with a majority.
Well, that's been my prediction for quite some time, Dom. But there is some more bad news out from the former Trump administration. According to CNN, transcripts released by the House January 6th Select Committee show that the outgoing Trump administration considered releasing a statement attacking their own Attorney General Bill Barr for his ongoing refusal to endorse election fraud conspiracy theories and threaten his termination if he didn't fall in line.
It's
almost like
right.
they knew before it happened that Trump didn't really win the election, Dom. The statement didn't explicitly mention Barr by name, but would have been timed specifically to make clear to whom it was referring. The draft statement ended with, "Anybody that thinks there wasn't massive fraud in the 2020 election should be fired." According to the deposition, reported by Tierney Steed, Marshall Cohen, and Zachary Cohen, the draft statement, which was never sent out and hadn't been revealed before Friday, was brought up during the committee's deposition of Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone. According to the transcript, congressional investigators told him that they likely obtained the statement from the National Archives, which turned over documents from the Trump White House. The committee also said during the Cipollone interview that White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson previously testified that Mark Meadows gave her the draft statement, which was a handwritten note from an Oval Office meeting on the same day Barr made his public statements refuting Trump. It appears the statement didn't explicitly name Barr. The committee claimed that Hutchinson testified that she was instructed by Meadows to seek Cipollone's approval before the statement was posted on social media.
Yeah,
well, that's your problem. You sought prior approval from the White House counsel. They're not going to sign off on that. But your willingness to fire the attorney general for failing to back your corrupt statement that there was stolen elections?
But not just the, you know, to engage in the, to further the conspiracy that Trump already had lots of Republicans on his back, on his side with.
Did you see what Pat Cipollone's response when requested? Yeah. Meadows asked Cassie Hutchinson to seek advice from White House counsel Pat Cipollone over releasing that statement on social media, to which he responded, "God, no." So it was a close call then.
Lots of close calls. I've gotten through some of the transcripts. Lots of stuff has been released almost daily from the J6 committee. I haven't seen any reporting of any like real bombs. I mean, we talked last week about, you know, a Trump attorney trying to convince Cassidy Hutchinson in his very non-slick ways to, you know, forget about things. And if it's okay to not remember, you know, that kind of thing, to suborn perjury, right? That's certainly concerning. But I haven't seen a whole lot that has come out that's really moved me beyond what we've already reported on and knew about.
Well, we already knew the guy was at the head of a criminal conspiracy to overturn democracy, target his vice president, and you know, set a mob forth as an insurrectionist movement against the peaceful transfer of power. So, no, we haven't moved the narrative much beyond that point, although you keep bringing up the paperwork crimes down in Mar-a-Lago. Yeah,
so much.
Thank you, Dr. Harvey K, for making this a little bit better show. Thank you for all making us part of your Merry Monday post-Christmas edition. Now tell a friend, tune us in. Rest of the week, you all better be back. We'll keep doing it for you. We're doing it live because, you know, our families want us out of the house.